Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
What a disaster. Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Predators lose last night in Game 7. In a game I never saw coming, I'll admit. They were dominated last night by Winnipeg. Pekka Rinne, pathetic. Welcome to the Midday 180 with Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. David Reed is the chairman of the board.
Here is what we are not going to do. And I nearly tweeted this on my way to the car last night, or even before handshakes were over. Here is what we're not going to do. Last night, it's completely fitting that after handshakes, the percentage of people that stuck around for it, and I was next to Chad, you know, give a round of applause to the guys who salute the crowd with their sticks. Last time you see them, you know, you say, hey, that thanks for the ride and all of that. After that moment, I don't want to hear, hey, what a great season. Hey, you know, let's not forget all the did. There's time for that. You know when that time is not? Today. You know what you're not getting for the next 4 hours? A review of what a great season they had. Because what we're going to do is review what happened most recently. And what happened most recently was a bleep show, right? These guys, that whole great regular season that we're going to salute after the grieving process is over, that comes later. But that whole great regular season was to set up last night. And last night, they were, frankly, whether it hurts you or not, based on your overwhelming affection for this team, which it is largely deserving of, they don't deserve any affection for last night. There was no grit. There was no pop. There was no energy. There was your best player out of the game for the last 50 minutes, not resurfacing on the ice until it was time in a ball cap to shake hands with the other guys and say good luck. Good series. They blew it. They blew it. If you want it packaged up in some other fashion, it's not happening here from me. I don't know if you guys want to paint a smiley face on it. We'll get to that time. Let's visit with David Poile in a week and review the whole thing in a big package. Today, we're reviewing 60 bad minutes that started with two soft goals from which the odds of them recovering were infinitesimally small.
615-737-1045, our number. 615-737-1045. Preds lose. Your initial reaction. You're allowed to vent on this show. 615-737-1045 if you'd like to jump in.
It doesn't have to be happy talk today. We can all be pissed off for greatness together. That's fine, too. 615-737-1045.
PK Subban threw around pissed off for greatness during warm-ups, I was told.
Can you guys...
I don't know if he got it from us or from Ray Lewis.
Can I get on the couch here for a second?
Yeah,
can you tell me if I'm being overly dramatic here?
Chad saw this coming a mile away,
yeah,
by the way.
I did, unfortunately. And again, I didn't want this to happen. People, well, you got your wish, bro. Answer. There it is. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I was following the logical conclusion of every other game in the series has been completely opposite from the one before. That's the only reason that I picked Winnipeg to win. Not because I thought they're better than Nash. I thought that they would just show up and play. And they showed up and delivered in a Game 7. And the Preds, for their second straight Game 7, 2 years ago against San Jose, laid a complete egg. That egg in San Jose led to their captain being traded. So we're going to talk about the future of this franchise. I don't think it's as easy as keep everything the same and nothing changes. You could argue that's what they should do because they just won the President's Trophy and they lost in a Game 7. I get that. I don't know if it's that cut and dry, though, for David Poile. There may be changes to this roster at some point, but we're going to have time to get to that. Here's where I need to get on the couch, and you guys tell me if I'm being overdramatic. I'm sitting there last night in the third period, And I'm thinking, there's been a combined 40 years of pro sports, 40 seasons of pro sports now in Nashville with the Predators and the Titans. There's been two trips to the championship round for both. Preds to a Stanley Cup final, Titans to one Super Bowl. I know that Nashville is still a very young pro sports market, so you can't throw them in a mix with Cleveland and the Cubs and Philly and other pro sports towns that have other sports on top of just hockey and football. But I feel like Nashville is becoming, after 40 years, a city that when they're great, at their greatest, they're just great enough to not be good enough to win it all.
Not enough to be a trend yet. Two times in this fashion, and I wrote a piece this morning already about how these Preds are the 2000 Titans coming off the surprise appearance in the championship round, only get two rounds deep in the subsequent playoffs, lose in a fashion that's incomprehensible based on the great regular season. Titans did it again in 08 where they were the best team and had the same bad loss to Baltimore, but that's three times in all those years. And, you know, I went back and looked, you know, you mentioned Cubs and Cleveland. Those were obviously big ones that have come to an end. San Diego hasn't won a pro title since 63, Buffalo 65, Milwaukee 71.
Give you one, though. Well, but Green Bay, I mean, the Packers are Milwaukee, too. Let's face it. That's Milwaukee's pro football team. And they've won. I mean, people in Milwaukee they're all Packers. So they're excited when the Packers win. The city that I was thinking about, Paul, is Charlotte with the Panthers and the Hornets. Hornets have never even sniffed an NBA Finals. And they've been around since the late 80s, I believe, or early 90s. The Panthers have been to one Super Bowl.
And two conference championships.
Two Super Bowls. Sorry, they've been to two Super Bowls.
Well,
and lost both.
Here's the team that I would compare them to a degree, to say it's not that bad. You know, we've got these two Super Bowl / Stanley Cup season followed by a great regular season and not doing what was expected after that. Buffalo's got wide right, Thurman Thomas's missing helmet, the Music City Miracle, and the Brett Hull goal by Dallas in triple overtime against the Sabres. I mean, if you want a list of stuff that's gone wrong where your town is snake bit in championship caliber situations, I think you start with Buffalo.
I mean, look, it's not Buffalo, and I'm not going to be as dramatic as to say it's some of the worst pro sports cities with luck and history and everything else. But by God, it's not good right now. But I'm looking at Miami that does not have a great pro sports following. You know what the Marlins do when they get good? They win the World Series.
Yeah.
And then they're terrible for 10 years.
They're an exception.
But
on
then
the
they
other
win
side.
A World Series. They've won three. The Marlins.
Two? I think two.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, 97, 2003. But two titles for the Marlins.
Yeah, one of them against
the Miami Heat get LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and win titles. They won it. I mean, it's just go on down the list of cities you would think are mediocre pro sports cities. And I'm sitting there last night thinking, boy, you know, when it's, for lack of a better term, nut cutting time for this city, it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. And Game 7 last night in Nashville was an utter an epic fail by the Nashville Predators. Totally.
Well, no, it starts with one player. An utter and epic fail from Pekka Rinne. That's the brutal honesty of it. Rinne was pulled 10 minutes and 31 seconds into one of the most important games in franchise history.
And I understand.
A complete choke job.
Everybody afterwards defending him, saying he's the backbone and all of that. And he is the backbone. But last night they were jellyfish.
Yes.
He was and they were.
Well, he's the backbone, and he's also the one reason the Preds, they don't have two Stanley Cups right now, quite frankly. Because if he's better against Pittsburgh, they win that series. He was a disaster in that series, too. I mean, let's say the uncomfortable truth. Pekka Rinne is the greatest Nashville Predator of all time. He is a terrific guy. He's a great teammate. Everyone loves him. He will always be honored or heralded in this city and respected. He's choked the last two big moments of his career.
615-737-1045, our number. Let's go to Joe to lead us off on the phones this morning. What's up, Joe?
Joseph? Man, I'm hurting today. I spoke with you guys before game six, and you know we were talking about the narrative was the obituary you guys were writing, and I didn't agree with it. Well, the narrative today is let's go ahead and publish the obituary. I just can't see another collapse like that. That was just disheartening. I have a sinking feeling, guys, that this Predators team – is going to kind of fall into the cycle of what we've seen with the Tennessee Titans. They go to the Super Bowl, lose it by, what, a yard, maybe a yard?
Lost overtime by a yard.
Yeah, and, you know, and we had the Music City Miracle, which was a great narrative in that whole storyline. But, you know, since then, it's just so all this hopefulness and getting into the playoffs and just not getting back to the Super Bowl. And it's been a long time, man. It's almost two decades now. And I'm just hoping that now we don't see this gradual fall off from the Predators where, like Paul said earlier, that they're just not, we're not in a position to get over the hump to go into greatness. So I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys keep on talking. Appreciate your show, man. Love you guys.
So this is a tweet that I just received. It's going to lead into the story I was telling you guys about before the break, about what Paul and I witnessed last night in Bridgestone Arena. MSC, this guy's, it sounds like a drug. MSC2134 is his Twitter handle. Says, God, at Withrow Zone's drama is so hard to listen to. Y'all are being childish and just trying to bring drama. Yes, I thought they'd lose too. Yes, it was an awful game, and Pekka choked. But good grief, guys, acting like fans who expect constant perfection, and when you don't get it, you freak out. This MSC2134 is part of the problem with Nashville sports right now. We expect, now let's break this down. We expect constant perfection and are being childish while you acknowledge that Pekka Rinne, the star of the team, choked. They played an awful game in a game 7. But we're the ones who are wrong for pointing that out. It's not perfection to expect a team to not lose 3 games at home when they're the President's Trophy winner in 1 playoff series. That's not perfection. If they lose the series in 7, fine. It's disappointing either way. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for a decent performance in a game 7. And that's not what the Nashville Predators gave this city last night. That's not expecting perfection. If they lose in 7 games the Stanley Cup final, I doubt we're coming on the show and saying they choked and they're terrible and this and that. This was a disappointing outcome. Now, this leads me to the story last night that Paul and I witnessed.
Can be such babies.
These are the two separate sides of this sports market. Fans started leaving early last night. I don't blame fans who left early, quite frankly. If they wanted to beat traffic, the game was over. When it was 4-1, there were fans who left Bridgestone Arena. There was a guy sitting about 3 rows over from us, dog cussing fans who were leaving early. I mean, every possible curse word you can think about, and not the Finnish curse words, English curse words. He's yelling and screaming at everyone, calling people out, trying to fight guys who were leaving. Ushers twice had to come over and tell this guy to sit down. Because he was screaming, standing up, pointing out individual guys who were leaving.
And the first batch was a touch.
Failures and quitters and this and that.
The first batch was a touch earlier and whatever. But then, you know, 2.5 minutes left, 3 minutes left. It was pouring out.
It was pouring out. But here's what I want to get to. I'm not endorsing quitting. But what I am endorsing is accountability. And getting a little bit pissed off for greatness at times. If you want to leave at the end of a horrid performance in a game 7, when you spent 3 days getting ready for it and you're excited about it, and you paid probably over $1,000 for a ticket where these people were exiting, leave. Good for you. I applaud you. That is your right as an American citizen to leave. And for this guy to have a problem with it, that's his problem. We need to bridge this gap from MSC3124 and the dude dog-cussing fans for leaving in the midst of a disaster by their team, and Philly, right? Philly's the other side. They're going to dog-cuss their team no matter what at all times. We got to get closer to Philly, quite frankly. I want people to get angry in this city more often. I want people to feel a level of disappointment. It doesn't always have to be roses and sunshine after a game like that. The game was miserable. It's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit, hey, Pekka Rinne, great guy, terrific player, future Hall of Famer. Wow. Not the most clutch. Not the most clutch when the lights are the brightest.
Here's something not. I'm surprised that we didn't hear during that. And, Chad, I thought that was a great illustration kind of the divide. You know what I didn't hear once last night? A boo. Now, I know we're very polite here and everything, and I'm not saying... I don't know. At some point during that third period, if I was a vocal fan at that game, I would have booed. I would have booed Pekka when he left if I realized what was happening faster. I would have booed Turris for his series. And you go to most markets in the country, and I know we probably pride ourselves on the fact that we wouldn't do that, but they deserved an earful last night. And if you ever want to talk about the pressure of playing for the Nashville Predators or the Tennessee Titans or anything, I'll set that forth as an example. You bomb in Game 7 when you're expected to win the Stanley Cup, and there might have been a lot of silence, but that's as far as we'll take it. We're not going to boo our boys. Come on. They won the President's Trophy.
Well, yeah. I felt like the crowd last night, not booing, they were trying to get the team back in it. You know, they were trying to do their part throughout the, not just the first period, but, you know, Subban scores that goal, makes it 2-1, which is a big goal, I thought, going into the first intermission with Saros in net. And then they give up that goal at the end of the second period. And I think that's where, you know, the air went out of the building, so to speak. But even in the third period, the crowd tried to get that team involved and could not. That was miserable, what we saw last night.
The crowd was not the problem at all last night. At 3-1, Hutton, you're right. There was a spontaneous standing ovation to try to inject some life in the team. But, I mean, we all knew it. When they scored with 2.5 minutes left in the second period, it was over. I kept, Paul and I were talking. If it's 2-1, even if this period goes scoreless, Preds have a puncher's chance in that third period to get a fluke goal. Because it may take that, the way Winnipeg was playing defense and the way Connor Hellebuck was playing. When it went 3-1 on that Scheifele goal, it was over. And the fans were still into it in the third period, which is, again, why I have no problem with people leaving early. We got to get past this, yelling and calling fans out for leaving early at the end of a bad performance like that. And I also, Paul, to go on the other end, I don't know that we necessarily need to be the city that boos.
No, I'm not saying a shower of boos, but that there's no, I didn't hear a single boo last night on a boo-worthy performance.
Let's get closer to the middle. Let's get closer to a sports market that demands some accountability for a team that was the best in the league in the regular season.
And
rightfully is angry after a performance like that.
And propped up the hashtag, we want the cup, for the last 9 months.
I mean, the declaration
didn't play like it. Didn't play like it.
Yeah, the declaration was clear. The expectation was clear. I mean, you can go into any level of sport. And when you have a clear-cut goal and expectation, when you don't reach that, and I'm not talking about every team when they go into the season wants to win the cup, and every team wants to. This was a realistic goal for the Nashville Predators going into it.
Yes.
Now, the regular season was a huge success. They're going to raise two banners next year. Great. President's Trophy, first ever Central Division crown. Great. Postseason was an epic failure to not get out of the second round.
Well, but see, I go back to what we discussed earlier this week after the Game 5 performance, where we were writing the obituary that the caller brought up. I don't look at it as an epic failure as a whole because they played Winnipeg in round two. I need to see what Winnipeg goes on to do in the postseason before I can call it an epic failure by losing to Winnipeg in round two.
I don't know that losing to Winnipeg in round two is an epic failure. Last night's an epic failure.
Yes. Last night, individually, disaster. Giving up the three-goal lead. Terrible. But I can't say that the playoffs as a whole are an epic failure for Nashville with the Preds. Because, again, I want to see what Winnipeg ends up doing this postseason.
And it's funny. I was walking. I know we were all thinking.
But here's the ultimate thing. There's two sides of this, to what Hutton's saying. I agree. I mean, you can say, well, they lost in seven games to the eventual cup champion. But then I'm thinking, Nashville's the cup champion if they don't lay an egg in Game 7.
I know.
How is that not an epic failure? You got home ice in a Game 7. You fought for 82 games to secure home ice, and you lose three games at home in one series on home ice. You had Game 7 with an extra day's rest to get ready for the Game 7 at home, and then you lose the team that goes on and wins the cup. Now, while it's a nice consolation, hey, you lost in seven games the eventual cup champion, to me, I'm thinking I'm even more disappointed because you show up for Game 7, you're winning the Stanley Cup.
And by the way,
how many chances are you going to get at that?
You guys know I'm not a huge atmosphere guy in terms of it swaying things. I had a back and forth with Ned Michaels on Twitter yesterday where he was saying the crowd needs to lift the team in the third period. And I said, it works the other way around. It works the other way around. You lift me. Somebody's paid money for this seat. I'm lucky enough it wasn't me in this circumstance. But you lift me. I'm there to be entertained by you. I'm not there to get you going.
Entertainment.
But here's the interesting thing.
The crowd tried.
For how much they raised ticket prices, for how much the atmosphere is great and everything. What did Peter Laviolette say about home ice in this series? It did not matter. Put that on a shirt.
From the head coach. Eric, next up. Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, as a huge sports fan, and Nashville's got a great team, but man, we dropped the puck losing this game. And as much as I love our goalie, is he as great in the postseason? And it just, it smells to me a lot of like Peyton Manning before he won a Super Bowl in the duds he had in the playoffs. And I feel for him because you can't give up those two goals. And I mean, you can't. And I just kind of feel, again, a day after a game seven of like, man, have we let this kind of opportunity just out the door? And I'm bummed because they had a great season. This was their year in a way. It doesn't mean they won't have next year. But our goalie in the playoffs outside of last year has not been a playoff goalie carrying a team. He did it last year. Pittsburgh possibly not as great in that series. But this series, Colorado, and then this one, man, it's a failure, and I'm bummed.
He's pulled three times in the series.
Eric, thank you.
Now, not everything he did badly was on him. Last night, those two goals.
Weak.
Very weak. The first one, I still don't know how it squeezes through, but the fact of the matter is it squeezed through, and it can't squeeze through, and that's that.
I was shocked on that first goal. We were looking at it. It was on our side, Paul, and I'm thinking,
how did it get in?
I kept waiting on a review. I'm like, are they going to review to see if it crossed?
But
I didn't know how the puck. What happened?
But the storyline of... Peter Laviolette, after that second goal goes through, another weak, soft goal, knowing that Pekka Rinne, the Vezina Trophy winner, we all expect he will win it, would not mentally recover from that moment. And they put in the backup immediately.
I thought his explanation was pretty good. And now maybe it's partly politicking. But he said, you can't take your time out there. It's too early. And the only way to, like... the only big change that might change the way things are going is that. And so they did it. And then he talked about, like, we talked through all kinds of scenarios. So he made it sound very clear that they were like, what if he gives up two goals in the first 10 minutes that aren't great? And that was predetermined. Like, I'm sure he turned to his assistants and gave the nod, like, yeah, let's do what we said we were going to do.
Pekka is a great goaltender in the regular season. He's just good in the postseason. His last 24 postseason starts. Would you like to guess his record?
His last 24 postseason starts. I'm going to say he's like 14-10.
Chad?
24 starts.
They won a lot of games last year.
13-11.
He's 12-12 in his last 24.
That's surprising considering, you know, that they won those series last year relatively easily.
I just think
3-2 against Anaheim, 2-4 against Pittsburgh, 4-2 against Colorado, and 3-4 against Winnipeg.
And just
as a whole, the numbers are the numbers. You know, you can look inside each game, and some of those games you can go through every goal, and we can have Chris Mason on, and he can say this wasn't Pekka's fault. This wasn't Pekka's fault. But
it evens
you can't
out
ignore those numbers. It's not all his fault, but that's not good enough, period.
Yeah, I don't think
you're not winning that. You're not winning championships with that.
And he got pulled three times in this series.
There's too many extremes. There were too many extremes in this series. There are too many extremes of Pekka Rinne. It's not like when he's bad, they're losing 3-2. You know, on one soft goal. When he's bad, he's getting yanked four times.
And most teams that win the Stanley Cup.
He's terrible.
He's mentally fragile in the postseason.
Most teams that win the Stanley Cup over a long period of time ride a hot goaltender. Most teams that are pulling their goalie three times are the team that you're talking about not being strong enough to do it. I mean, goalie doubt kills. Philadelphia's had goalie doubt for 20 years, and it kills them every time. This franchise hasn't had goalie doubt until, you know, Stanley Cup final.
I mean, in
the postseason.
I don't understand how he can have a performance of Game 6 up in Winnipeg, making some great saves, and then have two soft goals in the biggest moment of Game 7.
In 10 minutes.
Yes. Back to the phone, 615-737-1045. Our number, Josh, is next up. Hey, Josh.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm proud of the season we had, but the last series just kills me because it was a seven-game series, and you think, wow, seven-game series, that's great, it's exciting. It was not, and if we lost 3-2, that I don't think that would have bothered me that much, you know, because I think these are the two best teams, but I don't understand how you can go from 5, 6, and 7, and you're looking at teams, and it's like Nashville didn't even belong on the ice with Winnipeg, and then in Game 6, it looked the opposite, and then in 7, I mean, we just look like a team that shouldn't even have been there, and that's what bothers me.
Too many extremes. Too many extremes. And you know, the last year's Stanley Cup final run, we spent a lot of time during that spring and summer talking about the lasting impact on the Nashville Predators franchise and this market and how that's always going to stick with people. I think this series is always going to stick with people. I think that we've heard for months about playoff loud and this is Smashville and we do it better than anyone else. And that team that won the President's Trophy just rolled out there and lost 3 of 4 games at home in a 7-game series and got crushed in Game 7. That's going to stick with me. And I think that's going to stick with a lot of Predators fans. Just like last year, that magical run, people will always remember it and it changed the franchise. I think this Game 7 disaster changes this franchise.
What was the score Game 1?
4-1. 4-1.
4-1, 6-2, 5-1.
The last five home games this postseason, they're 1-4 at home. They allowed 21 goals on 152 shots. 86% save percentage there. They only scored 10 goals in those five games. Five of those goals came in one game.
And 15-4 against in those three home losses in this series. And Paul Maurice, my guy, said that perhaps the thing he's most proud of in that series is that they came to this town, to that building, and didn't lose a game in regulation.
Let's go to Chris next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Go right ahead, man.
Hey, you know, I've lived here for about 5 years now, and I love Nashville. And unfortunately, I'm a Blackhawks fan. I grew up in Chicago. And I just think you guys are just, I agree. You know, last night was a choke, and, you know, I think there's a lot of blame to go around. Like, where was Yossi? He never scored. But I'm just going back to the fact that Nashville Predators have been around for 20 years. I mean, I grew up my entire life. The Blackhawks didn't win a Stanley Cup for 50 years. I know they've been good the last maybe 5, 6 years, but even last year when the Preds took them out in the first round after they had the best record, you know, we just move on and you get ready for next year. Maybe you got to blow up the team. I don't know what you got to do, but it's not like it's the end of the world. I mean, you guys are such a young franchise. You know, maybe they overachieved last year and a little bit underachieved this year because of that. But
do you think Las Vegas is talking about their history?
I don't care about what are we talking about, Las Vegas?
Because they're in the Western Conference Final in year one. Tampa Bay Lightning won a Stanley Cup. In their first 20
history
years.
History does not matter, Chris. Carolina, when you're Hurricanes. In this moment, you capitalize.
I understand what you're saying. You went for a 50-year drought. Well, now we're in modern times, and our circumstance is 20 years of not doing it. And I don't have a problem with 18 of those years. I have a problem with last year because they should have won. And I have a problem with this year because they set themselves up to win. And I think Chicago would agree. When you have the chance, you have to take it because it comes around rarely. You know that better than anybody because you endured 50 years. So if in your 50 years, 20 years in, you had a big chance, you wouldn't be pissed about blowing it because there were 30 years after that?
They're at the peak of, you know, where they should be right now.
Well, Chris,
they're not.
Chris, with all due respect, though, Chris, with all due respect to your Blackhawks, are you also a Chicago Cubs fan?
I am.
Yeah, see, that's not the standard. For Nashville, I'm sorry. I don't want to compare to teams that have gone 80 years, 90 years, 50 years without a title.
It'll be the Florida Marlins.
I'm comparing them to the Florida Marlins and the Carolina Hurricanes and the Tampa Bay Lightning and the by God, Vegas Golden Knights, who are about to win a title in year one. My point is there are plenty of franchises who are young and experienced championship success early on. Now, the Chicago Blackhawks and the Cubs are great now, and you guys are in a good period, but do you see my point? I want Nashville to get past the, well, at least we're not Buffalo, and I want them to move on to the, boy, it'd be nice if we were Boston. It'd be nice if we were this market that has success.
I totally get it. And but I think, you know, from how well they did last year, I mean, I listened, you know, before the first game against the Avalanche, and everybody, you know, was talking sweep, and, you know, it's like, we want a rematch with Pittsburgh and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think, you know, it really should have been more game by game that everybody should have been, you know.
You win the President's Trophy, why wouldn't you have high expectations? Now you're saying, hey, you're really good during the regular season, but temper your expectations in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and no, it's game by game, and you might go out in the first. I mean, what kind of approach is that? I'm as pessimistic as they come, but if you're not going to be optimistic when you have the best team in the regular season heading into the playoffs, when are you going to be optimistic?
Well, I want to compare teams in this market to the ceiling and not the floor.
I like that.
I want to stop with the,
or at least
I don't want fans from Chicago and Buffalo to call in and be like, guys, you guys are such a young, youthful market, and look how many struggles we've had, and we've been terrible for so long, and we had a 90-year championship drought with the Cubs, or however long. It was more than that, wasn't it? Over 100 years? 100, close to 100 years?
107?
Yeah. We had over a century of not winning a title, and then we went 50 years. No. Let's compare to the best. Let's get past this. At least we're not this team. And let's get to the why aren't we this team that's doing well.
Right. And the Preds didn't play in the dead ball era. Okay. They didn't play in the jump ball after every basket era. You know, so if we're going back to ancient history for some of these teams, you know, they weren't even playing the same game.
Let's go to the phones and rapid fire time. Tim, lead us off. What's up, Tim?
Hey guys, what's up, man? I wanted to vent on Subban, man. I just can't believe that I'm the only one that has a problem with this guy's antics. We don't need to throw catfish on the ice. He's flopping during the national anthem just like a fish. And it's all about, look at me, man. He's a showboat. If he wants to showboat, then he needs to play like a showboat.
Tim, that showboat scored the only goal for the Nashville Predators last night in Game 7.
And on the one goal where he flopped, look, I think he's been on the ice too much in those situations, but I also think he was trying to get across the goal, all the way across the goal mouth, and I'm not sure that he was the guy that should all be pinned on. There wasn't a lot of help.
Quite frankly, Tim, that showboat was the only player on that team that Game 7 wasn't too big for last night.
Well, I'm not talking about just Game 7. I mean, it's every game. He's the slowest guy on the ice. For the amount of money that we're paying him, we could get two defensemen just as good as him and an offensive player.
No, come on. You're being overreactionary there. We're ready to react to a bad loss last night. You pick out a guy that actually at least broke even in this series.
Yeah, he's the one defenseman who actually scored throughout the playoffs. Let's crush this guy. Let's crush this guy because he's moving his skates back and forth during
the anthem.
Or yeah, during the anthem. Who cares?
And he's accountable postgame.
Yes, he's accountable.
Not just last night, but every game.
Not only is he
game.
Personally accountable, he was the biggest defender of Pekka last night in the locker room after the game also.
Yes, to an extreme.
From all accounts, he's also a really good teammate. And if you want to bash a defenseman, let's look at O-Captain, my captain, Roman Josi, who had pulled a disappearing act in the playoffs.
Dallas and Ekholm.
Absolutely. It's not the guy to bash right now.
Yeah. Josi and Ellis on a milk carton.
Disappeared.
Patrick, welcome.
Hey, dudes. Thanks for taking my call. I'm probably sounding happier than I am, but that's because I started mourning at about the 11-minute mark of the first
along.
Period.
Yes.
Paul and I started at the 10-minute mark. Yeah, the first goal.
Yeah,
that's not good. It's like, well, that's it. There's your ball game.
I looked up, saw Pekka skating off, blurted out an expletive, and I don't normally do that, and then just kind of got quiet. So I'm trying not to overreact emotionally. I think I have some logic in my thinking. You guys can rip it up if not. I'm much less enthused about the quote-unquote championship window of this roster, and it's not because of last night, but it's because of the matchup with Winnipeg. It's with Colorado coming along. Chicago's not going to stay terrible. I think we have a really good team, but I don't know, man. I don't know if this roster is going to be situated, because now we have questions at goaltender. Now we don't necessarily have the depth at the second, third, fourth line that we thought we did. We don't necessarily have depth beyond our top four on defense, and we've got some big contract stuff coming up there. So it's not necessarily gloom and doom. I'm not wanting anybody to – let's not fire the coach and fire the GM and blow the thing up or anything like that. But I'm not willing to say that I expect them to go to the finals again more than once in this window, and I'm not willing to say, and again, the word is expect, that they hoist the cup, because Winnipeg's tough and they're not going anywhere, and we did not match up well with them. They dictated. It looked a lot to me like Anaheim, where we just got dominated for a vast portion of the game. And anyway, so that's where I am. I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you, Patrick. Look, expectations to win the cup. Winning the cup is very difficult to do. I mean, just in recent years, St. Louis, San Jose, Anaheim, Washington, Tampa, Dallas, Vancouver, the Rangers, all teams in recent years that had cup caliber teams for multiple seasons, but never won. So expectations to win the cup, that's great. It's tough to pull off. And you know my motto, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. That's the difficult storyline of today with this Nashville Predators team. Going on to win a Stanley Cup, if they won last night, they were only halfway there.
Yeah.
It's a difficult journey to get there. But the fact they lost the way they did last night speaks volumes to the mentality of that roster right
now. That Game 7 parallel the Game 7 with the Sharks 2 years ago? It wasn't quite the same level of no-show, but...
No, I didn't think they quit. I felt that team that you're talking about in Game 7, there were some players that were
they weren't
done.
Equipped.
They had checked out.
I just thought last night, the Winnipeg, who's a very good team, they showed up and the Preds did not. Now, I don't think it's because of lack of effort. Just one team played well and the other didn't. Well, a lot of that started with Pecorine.
How do you not show
when
up?
When the two-goal lead took place early in the first period, we had the discussion yesterday. If it gets 2-0... We all agreed. Game's over.
Yep.
I thought the team felt the same way. Now, Subban got them on the board at 2-1, but did they really have a chance at 2-1?
Well, I tweeted at that point, and boy, did this tweet expose how dumb some people are. I said, next goal wins. And some people took that literally. Well, the Preds aren't going to win the game at 2-2. That's a tie. No, you idiots.
Right.
Next goal is going to be the goal that tells us who's going to win the game. It's not going to finish the game. But I, Chad agreed with me there. I tweeted that coming in from getting a beer between the first and second period. And when they scored the third one, that was it.
I thought if the Preds got the tying goal,
they could
that would be
momentum
the momentum that could carry them with a new goalie in net. Now that Pecorine, who was clearly mentally off, wasn't in net, I thought that they would win. That goal by P.K. Subban was huge at the time. And the Scheifele goal and to make it 3-1, that was the backbreaker. Because you still have a great shot going into the third period at 2-1. If it remains 2-1 for the entirety of that 20 minutes, you still have a good shot. People, again, they're making it out like we're being overly dramatic about the outcome of this series. The outcome of the series is disappointing but not shocking to lose in 7 games to Winnipeg. We're not saying that that's not the case. What's also shocking is to play that badly in Game 7 at home. And to lose 3 of 4 at home. We're not being overly dramatic about that.
That's terrible.
We're also not saying Stanley Cup or bust, and then it's a huge disappointing season. Again, my stance has been the same throughout. Regular season, great. Accomplished a lot of things this franchise never has. To me, postseason, really disappointing. Now, was it completely unexpected to lose to 7 in Winnipeg in the second round? No, not completely unexpected. But here is what we're not being overly dramatic about. The complete and utter disaster and failure that is losing 3 of 4 at home in Smashville in Bridgestone Arena with all of these things about home ice all year.
By a total of 15-4.
By a total of 15-4, and Paul in Game 7 to lose 5-1 at home when you fight all year for home ice and you completely negate home ice advantage. I don't know how we could possibly be overdramatic about that. That is an utter collapse and disaster. That facet of this series is disastrous. And I will repeat that all day.
Undeniable.
And if you think we're being overly dramatic, you're being overly sensitive to your team.
Absolutely.
What's up, Rob?
Oh, no, I can completely agree with what you're saying. And I called in a couple weeks ago with the same thread that there's a feeling in and around this team that going into the playoffs that they didn't have the same mojo that was going on in regular season. And it is by and large, when you look at that, you have a very big team in Winnipeg and a very strong team and a team that came out in our own building more fierce than we did. And they, you know, if you look at the coaching aspects of why we lost, I want to ask PK Subban if he knows what backdoor pressure is, because he lost the backdoor about 8 times this series. He scored a very important goal last night, but it wasn't enough to make up for his tragic, tragic defensive errors that were just almost ridiculous. And one other point in and around Pekka. Pekka, during the regular season, purposefully changed the style of play to be more calm, consistent in net, and to mitigate all of the kind of herky-jerky movements. He lost all of that in the playoffs. He was 89% save percentage in the playoffs, and that's not good enough to make it. You need a hot goalie. And, you know, I don't know if, like last night, the second goal, he was totally moving off the post. He should have just stayed calm and stayed put. And if he did that, it'd be great. I do think that we were soft around the net. You go around their net, and you've got bruises on your arms and in your kidneys. You go around our net, you get a little hug and a squeeze, and away you go. And that's not enough, you know?
Rob, thank you, man.
That's a great point.
Appreciate the call.
Good perspective.
And here's the other thing, just circling back to what Chad was saying about the disappointment. Like, is it naive to think they're automatically winning the cup off of that year? Yeah. How about getting halfway? I mean, is that a lot to expect? Get halfway. They didn't even get halfway.